Good afternoon and welcome to episode 10 of TAG Talks. I'm Brigadier General Greg Johnson. I'm your TAG 63 and very excited today to talk about a topic that's very near and dear to my heart, as is most HR topics. This one is military pay or MILPAY. And I'm excited to introduce a couple of just absolute phenomenal superstars and experts in military pay and HR. And those with me today is Colonel Keith Toler and Sergeant Major Fonseca, who I think is probably the best staff person I've ever worked with. So there you go. So you know how I feel about Sergeant Major Fonseca. And Keith, you're pretty dang good too. Hey, Keith, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us where you've been and what you're doing, and then Sergeant Major, you'll be next.
All right, sir.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, and thankful to be here today. And just to clarify, I'm definitely not a MILPAY expert, much more of an enthusiast. Sergeant Major is the expert, and he's teaching me more and more every day about MILPAY.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. So, Keith Toler, been in the Army about 23 years now. Started life as an armor officer, been AG ever since. Roughly 2004, and last few assignments, spent some time in the Joint Staff, Battalion Command in Italy, both enjoyable experience, and following War College, was blessed to find this opportunity and delve into an environment that I hadn't really spent much time or had much exposure to, which is finance and specifically military pay. So I've been doing the job about 6 months now, and again, learning from Sergeant Major, learning from the team down the hall on exactly what that means and why it's important.
Yeah, thanks for that, Sergeant Major.
Yeah, sir, thanks for having us. So I joined the Army in 2001, where I was then known as a military pay specialist. So I've been doing military pay for just over 22 years now. I've been financed the entire time, and I've been all over the place. So once upon a time, I used to be with the IPSA team in the Functional Management Division, primarily what was then Release 2, preparing for Release 3, and what was then known as Release 4. So it's kind of overlapping efforts, you know, coming on board with the program. And then I did a little stint as a first sergeant in TRADOC, went to Sergeant Major's Academy, and then I've been now with HRC within the MILPAY division. We stood up on 1 August, and I got here 21 July.
Yeah.
So coming up on 9 months now, been pretty fresh, but we hit the ground running and just jumped in and never looked back.
Yeah. Well, let me tease this out just a little bit. I mean, there's some uniqueness on your team that I definitely want to highlight for the audience. So Sergeant Major's finance, right? Finance background, and then Keith is AG, he's an HR background, but they're fused onto a team that just stood up, right? Military pay division here at the TAG or the Adjutant General's office is a new kind of creation, right? You know, you guys just came in recently and right. Then have stood this up and are working together. I mean, any thoughts on kind of the uniqueness of that, guys?
I'd give the example of Sergeant First Class Fernandez. So we have a nutritionist that does BH waivers in a military pay division. Oh, and by the way, her boss is an aviator in a human resources command. So if that's not talent management for you and how unique our situation is, I don't know if we get a better example than that one.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, if you use the talent where you can get it. I mean, our team is primarily civilian. We do have some military, and most of our cadre are experienced MILPAY professionals that have moved into the civilian realm, typically retired, or just have a long, many year length worth of experience in the MILPAY realm, and we're super excited to kind of leverage their experience every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think some of the impetus, and you mentioned you being on the IPSA team, previously, which is, you know, another kind of probably reason why you're sitting here, right? You have all this experience sitting in getting Release 2 and helping with Release 3 and 4 started in IPSA, Sergeant Major. But MILPAY division stood up recently. We have always in the TAG done some benefits actions, right? Some semblance of pay or compensation or benefits. Those actions had flowed here, you know, on the aviator side. We do other benefits tied to a whole host of things. Mm-hmm. But MILPAY is new, and it's primarily being driven by, hey, IPSA, their next release, that system's next release, is going to incorporate military pay, full auditability into the already HR instance of Release 3 IPSA. And we really thought, hey, we had to stand up a team here because ultimately we're going to take the payroll function from DFAS, that Defense Finance Accounting Service that does it today, and we're going to move it into the Army. And we're going to run payroll from the TAG here at HRC, essentially with your team. So we thought it was kind of the time to do it now and get the semblance of the team together now, and then there will be a journey over the next, you know, several years that kind of brings that function to the Army fully. I don't know, what do you think about that? It's a big role, it's a big task, Keith.
It is. As we kind of remark to folks as we kind of move about the country and talk about MilPay, we're focused on multiple targets at once. I mean, the 1 meter target for us right now is the current pay environment, which is a hybrid pay environment, right? So we do some things in IPSA, but not a lot. And by things, I mean military pay transactions. We do some, roughly about 7% of the pay actions right now run through IPSA. Everything else is still in a legacy environment. So we're very much focused on improving that environment for soldiers now, making it as good as we can for the soldiers in the current hybrid environment. That's the 1 meter target. At the same time, we're looking ahead to kind of the 5 meter target. It was working closely with our friends over at IPSA on developing what the future of what pay inside of IPSA will look like. And then, of course, to your last point, so we're also focused simultaneously at kind of that 20-meter target, which is what does the future of military pay look like when it's fully subsumed into IPSA, and working with DFAS and our partners on that. So we're kind of focused on all three all at once.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big task. Let alone just trying to make pay run smoother and better, you know, today. That's definitely a full-time job. A lot going on. Maybe tease out a little bit of what you see with challenges today with the current environment, as we only have release three partial pay, but then the rest is almost right a legacy kind of approach to executing pay.
Yeah, absolutely, sir. I mean, the biggest thing for us is we got to remain grounded. If we look at our portfolio, it gets out of hand like really quick, really fast. And so it comes back to how do we take care of soldiers and their families today, give them the most timely and accurate payroll possible, and then how do we position ourselves to take care of it like tomorrow? So as we look at the current environment, it's just, you know, IPSA hasn't been around that long. DJMS, the Defense Jump Mill Pay System, has been around since the late 70s. But only a niche community knows that system, right? And we don't need people to data transact every day. We have an Army Military Pay Office that does a lot of that, but it's understanding what roles and permissions, who does what, when, where, why. And then we jump into stuff like pay error resolution or using the CRM module of IPSA, right? How do we take care of soldiers? So we got to, one, remain grounded to that mission. And that's why here at HRC, we say soldiers first, and we mean that in our division.
Yeah.
100% mean that, right? Yeah. And then the other parts are is just how do we get the most timely and accurate payroll? And so as people get comfortable with the system, making sure they're not taking shortcuts, they're following the user guides exactly as is, they're following the laws, regulations, and policies exactly as is. And when you do that, you put good data into the system, and then you get the intended outcome that you want. You can't replicate, you know, legacy system actions trying to get a legacy system outcome. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? And so we just got to use the system the way it was designed, sir.
Yeah.
When we do that, we get paid correctly.
Yeah. A couple of things. Maybe you highlight, Sergeant Major and Keith, you know, hey, what's the top, you know, recommendations you have for people out there? So I think most people understand you're in this hybrid environment. You can do some things in IPSA. You can do some things in CRM. But again, vast majority of stuff for pay, start of entitlements, change to family dynamics that drive a pay change, all of that is really legacy. So there's a mix of how do you do pay. And I know we've been focused on trying to make sure and level set with the field, hey, this is how you do this. And then we have a strong partnership, right, with the US FIMCOM folks. That's the Financial Management Command, who, right, it really runs those Army finance offices, AMPOs is the acronym that are out at every camp, post, and station. So maybe talk about, hey, what's the key focus areas or recommendations you have for folks out there that are tied to pay?
Well, if I could start at the beginning, and then, Sergeant Major, you kind of fill in maybe some more of the details here, but just as someone coming into this environment, kind of as a newbie and learning about the MilPay environment, our entry-level position is get involved. If you're an HR leader or any type of leader in any formation, get involved. Get an understanding for what your soldiers are being paid, what their entitlements, and really dig into those details. Spend some time trying to understand what they should be authorized. And part of our shop, we handle debt remissions. And for those that don't know, it's essentially a debt forgiveness request program where soldiers potentially incur a debt, potentially due to their fault. Maybe it's somebody else's fault, maybe it's a combination. And we review those packets and figure out how to adjudicate the debt up to certain dollar amounts. And I'll give you a perfect example of something that goes wrong. soldier PCS is from, say, Hawaii, an area that has a high level of BAH, and they PCS to Fort Cavazos, Texas, much lower rate of BAH. They get there, either they're not in process correctly, or they skipped a step, or a local leader didn't take an interest in what that soldier was getting paid, and now they're 6 months into their job, 8 months into their job, and they've accrued a debt. Once, you know, these debts never go away, they just wait for you. At a certain amount of time, a debt is realized, hey, you owe $6,000, you owe $12,000, and then they request forgiveness. And that's a tax on the soldier, stress on the soldier, stress on the unit, becomes a readiness concern as well. Because now the command has to say, okay, how are we going to figure this out? And it draws a lot away from the mission. So the focal point for commanders really focus on the basics of understanding and knowing what your soldiers are entitled to. That's sort of the baseline for some of what we've seen out there in the field.
Yeah, and I think we got to take a back to basics approach, right? We have payday activities all over the Army. That has to mean something. It did mean something, and it can mean something. There's nothing wrong with asking your soldier to bring in their LES and just do a quick scrub. Hey, this is me, Sergeant. This is what I think I'm entitled to. Is that true or not, right? And so when you have those involved and engaged leaders, you know if Fonseca's married or divorced, just had a baby, right? And then we get into other unit-like functions with, you know, unit baby showers and, you know, potlucks, hails, and farewells, right? And all that just really starts to tie together. And now the soldier knows their command cares, that LES that they get, that pay slip at the end of the month is correct, and I can meet my bills, I can enjoy my quality of life, and I can do everything the Army hired me to do because you're paying me my worth through my proper entitlements. So if we can just get back to basics and do those likes of things, then we don't have to come to you, sir, for the remissions and request and forgiveness.
Right. Yeah. No, I think, you know, I don't know, it resonates with me back to the basics. That really nests well, I think, with what our SMA and Chief are really talking about, you know, some standards and disciplines. You know, get back to what we've always done in the Army, and some of this is not much harder than that. Hey, you know, every month you should be looking at LESs if you're a leader or a frontline leader. In a formation for your soldiers. But, you know, if you're an S1, you know, I like to say, hey, the HR folks in S1s have always owned MilPay. You know, we're very deliberately saying it now because we are transitioning payroll and the oversight of the entire payroll process to the HR folks in the Army now with the rollout of IPSE and the future iterations of IPSE. It's like, hey, there's a couple of these things, right? You know, in processing, make sure that's done correctly. And when you get to a post, there's two things, right? You got to in process the HR stuff, and then you got to in process over at the AMPO, right? The finance office. And then, you know, you're off to the races. But a good part of that is your BAH recert. That has to happen, because to your point, man, if you come from a high cost area to a low cost area, yeah, you're going to likely incur a debt if we don't do that the right way or timely. The other thing, Sergeant Major, you brought up, I'm just underlining it, family changes generally drives some sort of pay change. If you have a child, you get divorced, you get married, right? You know, you become the guardian of someone. All of those change, you know, what your entitlements will be. And then one other key big one is like when you go overseas for an operation, right? There's generally some sort of deployment entitlement associated with wherever you're going, whether it be to Korea on the rotation, whether it be to Kuwait on the rotation, Poland on the rotation, or anything else, you know, Pacific Pathways. Whatever the operation is, there's generally something there. Mm-hmm. And we're really looking at our S1s to be the arbitrators there to ensure that with their frontline leaders, they're focused there and they're doing that. And that is their responsibility to help and ensure that the command and taking care of soldiers is all going. And then one last thing I would mention that you guys know, we run promotions here in the TAG, right? You know, semi-centralized promotions is a time-driven, you know, process. Can be involved, right? You know, because you got to get commanders to look at it and sign it and approve it. You got to get your frontline NCO leadership involved. And then if you don't meet the timelines, you're generally, you know, a little late in how you execute that. So I love that back to the basics.
Relationships matter more now than ever, sir.
Yeah.
We've got to have that trust. I trust that you're going to take care of me. I trust that you're going to take care of me. But that trust has to go two ways. And because we have all these different systems that are talking to each other in various scenarios, people have to just do the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. You know, and Keith, I'd love your thoughts on here. I mean, for me, I always see the connector person, that S1, right? Hey, the S1 at a battalion really should be connecting to company commanders, first sergeants, making sure their battalion commander, right? All that is connected, and then making sure the connection over to the finance element is connected too.
Right. Yes, sir. I think culturally, we need to think of military pay, all, you know, stopping and starting entitlements. We need to bring that up to the same level of visibility we give folks when they're about to leave or when they come in. When they come in, we're big on sponsorship as HR leaders. This is person sponsored. When they're leaving, it's all about let's make sure they leave with their evaluation in hand and their award. We want to have mil pay in that same conversation, making sure their entitlements and their pay is accurate when they come in and when they leave, and obviously throughout their tenure in that unit.
Yeah, and you know, I think more recently, right, the AG Corps has been pretty loud about, hey, we need to own this. Like, hey, look it in the face and just own it. And then, you know, from a professional perspective, hey, get into the details and learn it. You know, learn what entitlements are driving, you know, certain pays. You know, what's the KSD, right? What's the document that supports, you know, the initiation of a pay or an entitlement? And I know we're working on some of that too, right? We're working on some training, some exportable packages. Obviously, we're also back at the AG schoolhouse at Fort Jackson, kind of working through POIs for training on mil pay in particular.
Right.
Maybe talk a little bit about what we're doing that came out of the AUSA Solarium.
Absolutely, sir. Well, I'll start kind of the one that jumps to mind right now is the training piece. I mean, we're trying to hit this from all angles, but for new soldiers, new officers coming into the AG school, we're working closely with the team down there on curating new content or revising the existing content that addresses mil pay. So we want to catch them early. So we're working on refining the training that's down at the schoolhouse, starting with AIT and starting with the Basic Officer Leaders course. And from there, we're starting to curate packages that we intend to be sort of standalone training that we could give in any type of environment that will go out and become more operationally themed training. So we're really sort of focused on that. We have a bevy of initiatives, and that's sort of one that jumps to mind that's taking up a lot of bandwidth right now, is really focusing on getting the training right.
Yeah.
And then sort of coming out of that too is, okay, so unless you're going to reclass, you're not going to AIT again, right? You're not going to Advanced Leaders course again. Mm-hmm. So how do we get that material out to the force?
Right.
And not everybody that does HR and pay is a soldier. So how do we train our civilian partners as well? And that's where the partnerships with USAF MCOM coming in, making sure they've got a strong onboarding training package with the AMPOs, and they've been knocking it out the park there. And then MCOM comes in, making sure their MPD folks are trained, because they do have a touch point, in and out processing being a simple example there, and making sure everyone is really well-rounded and they know what they're doing and how they're doing it. And that's the complementary piece to that, sir. And a lot of this that we're doing coming out of the AUSA Solarium was we put together a Tiger Team.
Right.
And the MilPay Tiger Team was a combination of us here at HRC, USAF MCOM, mm-hmm. our FMD partners, our MCOM partners. And we just went to various locations. We were at Fort Moore, Fort Belvoir, Fort Bliss, Fort Cavazos, Hawaii, Germany, Korea. We were everywhere. We were all over the world, sir. You know, you helped fund it, right? You approved that. Thank you for that.
I went to a few of those locations, too.
You did. And when you get out there and you started talking to people, what were the top five issues? And we had arrival transactions, BAH, debts, separations, and deployment entitlements. And so it's how do we take those real-world concerns today and inject that into the training curricula so we can fix those problems, and they're not a problem for tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, and again, that's back to the basics for me, right? You know, and I love the approach because it's like you're taking the biggest issues we see out in the field and trying to operationalize how we train. You know, I don't know, I've always had a little bit of a beef with, hey, here's the book answer to something, right? The regulation says this, you know, for an E4, it's like, no, I just need to get to how do you actually do that entitlement transaction? You know, yes, understand the book stuff, but it's just, in my opinion, more important to understand, hey, how do you start those entitlements? And what are those entitlements? Like, so if you go to Korea, if you go to Kuwait, if you go to Poland, right, the entitlements are all different. So how do you know what those are? How do you know what documents need to come? And then who am I sending these transactions to, you know, so I can get the pay correct and then manage it along the way? So I love the back to the basics focus here. The other thing, and you two guys got some special powers. You know, in my opinion, you were both extremely good at building relationships and synchronizing, like, you know, all these different organizations. And for me, you know, being in the tag, it's good to have you on the team because, right, you're helping to pull people in. And, you know, honestly, one of those KSBs, right, those skills that I always look for in a senior leader like a colonel or a sergeant major is that ability. Can you pull people together? Can you build the relationship? Can you work through the hard problems to get to a solution that's good for the Army? And you two in particular have that skill set. And I think honestly, the reason why we're seeing a lot of success is because you guys are doing that bridge building and bringing folks together. But you know, for those that are younger listening to it, I mean, that's a key skill as you get, you know, older in your career. You know, we're here to solve these hard problems, not just show up at a job, you know, and look around and go, okay, let me just push the process. It's like, no, you got to bring folks together and solve hard stuff. I don't know what you guys think.
No, absolutely. I think relationships are key to making, you know, MilPay work. And if you're a new S1, for example, I mean, you should know who your Army Military Pay Office director is and the folks that work in that office and develop that relationship with them. And feel free to come to them with some of your, you know, silly questions, quote unquote, because you're not going to be, you know, 100% sure on, you know, how do we do this? How do we interact? Go over there and talk to them and try and work on that. You're paid as a leader to develop relationships. Processes will generally already exist when you show up. They may not be 100%, and you can refine those, and that your NCOs can help you with that. But no one is really imbued with the authority to work the relationship piece except for the leadership, and you have to make that work because ultimately sometimes processes won't work, things will fall through the crack, and it's going to rely on you and your relationships to make sure that soldier gets paid or make sure that entitlement is turned off before someone accrues a debt.
Yeah. You know, fun fact, Sergeant Major Fonseca, when he was a lowly E7, right, you know, and then got promoted to a mass sergeant, like took care of 54 U.S. PFOs in the National Guard, which is, you know, and I'm sure if they're listening, they'll love this. You know, it's a surly group of folks, right, that really understand pay in the National Guard for each state. But, you know, bringing all them together and facilitating release too. I mean, Sergeant Major did that like flawlessly. Like it was the best case scenario, best use case, I think, for change management I've ever seen in the Army.
The thing, sir, is we got to like actively listen. We got to hear people's problems. One USPFO from Nevada, let's call the state out, right, was like, wow, Sergeant, you got punched in the face last time I saw you. Like, kudos. And I'm like, that was, and then he walked away and I was like, wow, that was the weirdest compliment I've ever heard, right? Cool, who doesn't love combatives? But, you know, it's hearing your customer and then taking action on that, right? Knowing the appropriate place, who does what, when, and where. Right. And so, sir, the team is actually going to Little Rock, Arkansas, to the Professional Education Center there with the Guard, to meet with all the resource managers at their annual conference. So it's, hey, you know, we're in release 3, we're preparing for AMP, but this is not an active duty only system. This is for active guard and reserve. Yeah. And so getting back out and maintaining those relationships.
Yeah.
Because once you lose them, once we lose the 54 USPFOs, you lost 54 kingdoms.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's hard to get back. You cannot get that back. So it's getting out there, and you're taught as an NCO, if you want to know the true climate and culture of your unit, talk to the privates.
Yeah.
And you'll get the truth. And so we talk to people everywhere, anywhere, in the airport. Hey, soldier, what are your pay problems? Right? I was telling you before, sir, I was taking a business meeting there on a marathon at Disney World. And now you have an office call lined up for that, right? Just
fantastic.
We talk to people any and everywhere.
Fantastic.
And if you got a problem, we are here to help because it's all about soldiers first.
Yeah, no, I like that you landed on listening. You know, building relationships a lot of times is listening to the other person, right? And trying to understand whatever that perspective is, whatever that problem is, so then you can help address it. And again, it's why I think you guys have been so successful in grabbing all these different organizations to attack this big Army, you know, problem, which is, you know, hey, how do you pay soldiers better? You know, for me, it's like, hey, it's all about that, right? It's all about that soldier and how do we take care of folks better, because we want them to stay in the Army, right? We want folks and families to continue to serve and support this awesome nation and awesome Army that we have. Hey, talk a little bit about IPSA development. Like, where are we going? I know there's all kinds of stuff going on with release 3, right? We just updated a few things in February that really helps pay, you know, the in-transit grid, you know, arrival transactions, right? We fixed that. That's a good answer, or a good result for the Army. I mean, what are a few other things that you see, and then kind of where we're going with we're calling it AMP. It used to be called Release 4, but it's really payroll tied into IPS.
Yes. So one of our branches here is in the R3 sustainment is looking at the DGMS data. What went from IPSA to DGMS, and then we analyze that data. You know, why did something reject? Sometimes you want to reject. You don't want bad data in your pay system. Definitely don't want that. And from there, we find that there may be a defect. There may be a needs assessment that we address through a training gap. And so that's really how we've been working with our IPSA partners, primarily the Functional Management Division, to get Release 3 better in preparation for the AMP. And then concurrently on the other side, we have a different branch within the team that's been focused on the future, right? Aligning those requirements, getting the IPSA functionality aligned to the meal pay functions, and then tying that back to the stakeholders, back to relationships. They're like, who does it today? Who's gonna do it tomorrow? And most often than not, it's gonna be the same folks, right? And how do we do what you want us to do? Because we can't get in a situation where we jack up somebody's pay. Not when we're talking something super sensitive like wounded warrior pay or my basic entitlements, my base pay, BAH, BAS. All of it matters down to the penny. And so we're just kind of looking at it twofold. How do we keep the lights on today? Right. And how do we prepare for tomorrow? And that's really, sir, where you're uniquely positioned working there in the National Capital Region.
Yeah, I have the good fortune of working alongside the FMD team and sort of listening to their conversations, and in particular, taking interest in what's going on at AMP, right? So Army Military Payroll, sort of the future of IPSA, what it's going to look like when it subsumes all of the, you know, legacy pay activity that we currently do with DGMS at DFES. So the FMD team is doing a great job of sort of planning out what that's looking like, and those planning efforts are still ongoing, but we take special interest in looking at that. And if indeed it's going to be more of an incremental release, we're very interested in working closely with our partners, back to the partnership and relationship piece, use of FIMCOM, U.S. Army Financial Management Command, and DFAS in particular on, so the FMD team is planning to roll out their release in this manner. What do you guys think of that? Because we're also going to be managing two environments. The FMD will be managing the AMP environment, while at the same time we're keeping the lights on in a legacy environment. So how does that interplay look like? Will be something we're going to pay a lot of attention to moving forward.
Yeah, a lot of work coming, right? You know, it'll ramp up definitely more and more as we go to the right.
Yes,
you know, part of the uniqueness of this team is kind of where you're at, right? So, right, we put you very deliberately in DC to kind of sync with the actual IPSA team, while the preponderance of your team's sitting here at Fort Knox doing you know, that COOPS function, doing a lot of the other benefits and entitlements mission that you have. And then really what the next step is, hey, we're gonna take folks from DFAS that are up in Indianapolis. So, you know, in state of this kind of FOC of MILPAY division is, hey, you're gonna have people in three different locations at least. Which, you know, I think is the right decision. Mm-hmm. But it definitely is a leadership, you know, challenge, right, to connect all the dots there.
Right.
You know, but I think, you know, you definitely got the right approach as we go forward.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it'll be a challenge, and we're still learning what that challenge will even look like. But, you know, we have to inform the future development of AMP by imbuing ourselves and really getting a solid understanding of what goes on within the walls of DFAS, which is not something a lot of folks know about. When you go up there,
right,
you learn something new every time you talk to someone up there about the unique gymnastics they go through to make sure they execute accurate and timely soldier pay in the current environment. And we have to know that before we start planning what the future will look like, so there's no gap in the road.
Yeah. Well, and it's part of the reason why we want to keep you around for a little while, right? You know, because you get exposed to this and you get in the middle of it. You definitely get you know, more and more competency, more understanding,
right,
the longer you're in this role.
Yes,
and we have to connect the pieces. But I think for the AG Corps, it's, hey, as you're in your S1 jobs or at your Division G1 jobs, it's, hey, the more that you're learning about military pay, a little bit about auditability, right, all of that stuff becomes more and more important, because as you get to the lieutenant colonel and the colonel level, you know, hey, we're going to be running this whole process at HRC. In the tag, mm-hmm. And you know, we're going to need leaders more and more in the future that help run this process for the Army. It becomes, you know, hey, an AG colonel, an AG lieutenant colonel, some finance folks, some great civilians, you know, running this, you know, for our Army soldiers.
Right. Yes, sir.
So I know we're running out of time here. You know, any parting shots, Sergeant Major?
You know what I would just ask the leaders is be a leader, right? Everything that ADP 6-22 tells you to be that. Talk to your soldiers, listen to them, be aware of those life-changing events, and then understanding that there's a cause and effect to those entitlements, right? There's a regulation that dictates whether you go left or right. When you're involved, then that LES looks correct. And for our HR folks, you gotta take those records reviews seriously. The Army-wide PI that we just did, those aren't just check the block events. That's an opportunity for you to get a record correct today. Mm-hmm. Because once AMP goes live, if you don't correct that record today, now you just have a frustrated payroll account tomorrow. So do it now while you have the time and the resources, not when you're stressing trying to go live with new functionality, with new rules, new clicks of the buttons. Put in the work now. Yeah. And when you put in the work now and you keep it to the basics, sir, and you have those relationships, tomorrow's gonna be really easy. And I get that's strange hearing a Sergeant Major say that, but it's possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just got to do the work today.
Well, again, highlight and stamp back to the basics, but then, you know, I kind of wrote down, hey, you just got to own it, right? Hey, if you're in an S1 or you're a frontline leader, you got to own mil pay. You got to own your soldiers, you know, accurate pay, because that's, in essence, taking care of a soldier, right? That's taking care of people. And you can do that, even though at times it's a little difficult because it's a lot of work. Right, to go through some of that stuff and to keep on top of it. But hey, that's why S1s are down there. That's why smart S1s are down there, right? That's why we have great NCOs. That's why we have great frontline leaders. Definitely can do all of this. Just got to lean back into the back to the basic stuff.
Yes,
Keith?
Sir. No, I would say HR drives pay. It always has and will continue to be. So to your point, all of the life changes they shouldn't, you know, that your soldiers are undergoing, think of the pay impacts of those changes, you know, and as a leader, up until about 6 months ago, I did not think that way. A soldier got divorced, okay, understood. You know, you think, you know, let's make sure the soldier's okay. Certain care and feeding elements are at play, but not the pay impacting. You know, hey, have you corrected your entitlements? Because you know, hey, Sergeant so and so, let's take care of Soldier X because you know he just went through a divorce financially. Let's make sure that's good. Let's make sure when they arrive. Their BAH is correct. And, you know, if you just check a couple LESs routinely, a lot of these problems can be abated. So take an interest, get involved, and just understand that HR drives pay.
Yeah, HR drives pay. It sounds like we need to get a big banner here, you know, for the tag that puts that everywhere on the wall so then folks coming in and say, okay, HR drives pay.
Yeah, we're going to get matching tattoos that say that.
That's right, yeah. He has an IPSA one, I'm sure, already. Like his forearm, you know, on his leg. That was you on WTF Moments, right?
Yeah.
With that awesome IPSA
Now the secret's
tattoo.
Out there, sir, yeah.
People are asking me if it was me, and I'm like, I'm not a real tattoo guy. But hey, thanks guys for coming on. I know you lead an absolute dynamic team that just cares. There's a passion on your, you know, on your kind of small mil pay team right now that is all about taking care of soldiers, and I appreciate that. A lot of that is directly, I think, a result of the culture you guys have really pushed, which I appreciate, and the Army does too, because you know, this is one of those areas that we want to get right. And we want to make it really right as we get AMP out and enhance IPSA. But from Tag 6-3, thanks, folks, for listening. Really appreciate you tying in. And again, HR drives pay. And let's focus to do right by soldiers. Appreciate it all. And talk to you soon.